Interview with Dr. Linda Petty on Tuesday, February 16, 2010. So Linda, let's start with how you grew up and how you attained your desire to become a veterinarian. Okay.
I grew up on the family farm out in Riverhead, Long Island, New York. When I was in the third grade, my father was looking at going to school. He had no college other than a short course in the ag school. He wanted to become a veterinarian. He went to Cornell, kind of got the lay of the land, realized he could be looking at 8 years at the time he had three children, and said, "I don't think so." It just was too daunting a challenge for him. That was when I first started considering becoming a veterinarian. I'd grown up with animals. My folks got me my first small horse when I was 5. We always had dogs, cats. My family are animal lovers. They truly are, all of them. So that was where the original idea came from. My high school counselor thought I should become a real doctor. I was valedictorian of my high school class, and I know he thought it would be a feather in his cap to have me become an MD rather than a veterinarian. He was not impressed with my desire. I considered other things. My math teacher wanted me to be a math teacher. My English teacher wanted me to be an English teacher, and so on down the line. But I always came back to veterinary medicine as my primary interest, and that's how it all evolved.
And how did you get to Cornell?
When I was a senior in high school, I wrote to Cornell, Ohio State, and Penn State, which were the only campuses that offered veterinary schools in that era. Ohio and Penn told me, if you can't get into your own state school, there's no way we're looking at you. And that made it very simple. I had to apply to Cornell. I wound up, of course, going to the ag school and was able to get into the veterinary school after just 2 years in the ag school, which definitely had its pros and its cons. There were a number of fellows in my class who had already had all kinds of anatomy and things like that, which in 2 years I had not picked up, having done the typical pre-vet classes, chemistry, organic physics, and all those things that I really didn't like. That's how I wound up going to Cornell.
You applied to the College of Veterinary Medicine at a time when there were typically two women per class who were accepted. Could you talk about your application process and interview
yes.
process?
First of all, I'm not good about asking other people how these things are set up. I just had an interview date, figured out what I was going to wear. My roommate questioned my choice of attire. I know what I wore, a white blouse with a red flower pattern, well, it was more maroon, and a maroon skirt and black low-heeled shoes. My roommate said, "You look like you're going to a party, not to a job interview." I said, "I'm going to interview with a bunch of men. I want them to like looking at me." I obviously was not terribly sophisticated. The other young women who were there to interview were mostly in suits. I was not. As far as the interview itself went, it was right on the order of the Grand Inquisition. All I was lacking was the bucket over my head with the gong. There was a bright light. The interview table was set up in a T configuration with me at the bottom of the T and Gordon Danks all the way up at the head table. There were men seated all the way around, all of whom had pens and tablets and hardly looked at me. It was Danks and me. I have no idea why he asked me the things he did. He wanted to know if I liked to cook, which I do. Part of what puzzled me was that I had basically answered most of the questions in my written application. I had a strong 4-H background. I grew up on a farm. Well, he asked me if I cooked, if I sewed, if I danced, if I enjoyed dancing. Did I date? Then he wanted to know if you were to marry someone who had a vocation out in the desert somewhere where there really weren't any animals, just what would you do with this degree? That one really threw me. I thought, oh my goodness, the man knows I'm dating a fellow from Dartmouth who happens to be studying oceanography. I really began to wonder how thoroughly he had checked into my background. This went on and on and on. This was not a brief interview. The applicant that I had followed in for my interview had come out after 10 or 12 minutes with a smile on her face, and I came out of a grueling ordeal thinking, well, I'll try one more time next year, and after that, I better have another plan. I did not think there was a prayer that I had passed that interview successfully. It was just such a different experience from what I was hearing from the other applicants who were there.
How did you learn of your acceptance?
We received acceptance letters. Actually, the timing was wonderful. I was on my way to Green Key weekend at Dartmouth and got my letter, so it made it a really great weekend.
You were the only woman in your class, the class of 1965. What was it like to interact with, was it 49 men?
It was 59 guys and me. In fact, when I looked at the list that was posted on the bulletin board when you went into the veterinary school in that era, they posted the class names, and Carmen Scherzo was one of them, and I was standing there thinking, well, there is another woman in this class, when Brian Ryan said, oh, I know him. And I thought, well, I guess it's me and them. I really think it was an advantage to be the only woman in the class. In the class ahead of me, there were two women ahead of them. Those women tended to pair off, and I think they missed out on a lot of interaction with their classmates because they paired off. I can understand why they did. But I enjoyed a very easy interaction with all of my classmates. The first day that we were set up in anatomy lab with Dr. Howard Evans, I made a point of going around and introducing myself because I figured they all know who I am, and I better know who they are. So I made a point of going from table to table and introducing myself. When I got to Jim Petty, everybody else had been very cordial. His comment was, do you realize you're taking a man's position in this class? I had no idea where this had come from. And why I wound up marrying him is anybody's guess. But my son-in-law said, you heard that and thought, this is the man of my dreams. Not really. I actually went out with a lot of fellows in our class and from the class behind us, too. The funny part of that was that whoever it happened to be, my date, never took me anywhere where other veterinary students were apt to be. It was funny that way.
How do you feel the faculty reacted to having a woman in the class?
I certainly enjoyed a nice relationship with it. Faculty were always very nice to me. I felt like that was one of my advantages, being the only woman. I felt like the faculty felt a little sorry for me. I never, ever saw my being the only woman as being a disadvantage in any way. I felt that they were genuinely interested and approachable. I never felt otherwise.
How did you choose a career path? Tell us about your life after you graduated.
The career path was dictated because we were married. I just worked with the hand I was dealt. Jim and I married spring semester of senior year. Everybody assumed I was pregnant. 2 years later, we had a daughter. We had intended to move to California as soon as we graduated from Cornell, and did. Jim took a job from a veterinarian for whom I had worked between our third and fourth years, that job being in Maywood, California. I was kicked by a cow February of our senior year, wound up having a lateral meniscectomy, and was physically challenged there for a while. So I did relief work for the three practices that that man had on a very limited basis while Jim went to work for him full time. Jim was then drafted during the Vietnam buildup, so we wound up spending 6 weeks in San Antonio at Fort Sam Houston, then Chicago for food inspection school, 10 weeks, then on to Fort Lee, Virginia. We spent the rest of our tour there. We were very fortunate. Jim did not get shipped overseas. We had one day veterinary clinic that Jim and I worked. This was during the Vietnam buildup. There were a tremendous number of families coming through with pets that needed care. We put in a full day once a week. The Army would not let Jim expand beyond the once a week because the local practitioners really resented our cutting into their potential revenue. So we had to be careful. That was in the era when flea collars were first brought out, and we were the miracle workers. You'd put a flea collar on a dog in Virginia in the summer, and the fleas just fell off of them. It was so dramatic. A very different era. When Jim got out of the service, he wound up taking a position with Conejo Valley Veterinary Clinic in Thousand Oaks. The reason we opted to go there was they were a very progressive group. They were writing and doing clinical trials, obviously going to be a good practice in which to grow. They hired Jim full-time. I worked every Saturday the first 5 years we were there, starting in 1968. As the practice grew, my position evolved. Basically, what happened was I would extend my hours to the point where the practice could justify hiring another full-time veterinarian. When Jim sold his interest in that practice, we were at a dozen veterinarians, and it was a complete facility. We had field services and small animal and exotics. We did everything. We had a number of circus acts that wintered over in our area and wound up working with lions, tigers, leopards, you know, elephants, you name it. It's been a very interesting life.
Looking back on your life, are you glad you became a veterinarian?
With my particular personality type, had I been going through school in the computer age, I would have gone into computers and had pets. Looking back, I would never in the world have wanted to miss out on the experiences I've had because I was a veterinarian. So no regrets whatsoever as far as our chosen vocation. And my husband does a lot of speaking before SCAVMA groups in particular. And one of the messages he takes them, he always says, it's from me. As a woman, you can have it all, but you can't have it all at once. Because of the structure of our practice, I was pretty much able to have my hours work around my children's school hours so that I was the one that took them to school and I was the one that picked them up, and they never knew I wasn't at home in between time, really. Except for one summer when a woman veterinarian on staff had breast cancer and I covered her hours as well. And that time we sent our kids back to their grandparents on the East Coast and they spent a couple of weeks with each set of grandparents. There are so many opportunities available to veterinarians in today. It's a matter of finding what's going to work for you and your family. There is something out there that will work for you and your family, whether it's going to a band field where the hours are really very structured or working for a private practice that does want just a limited commitment. I know some people do want ownership, and that's a whole nother ballgame. But it's all out there. And then you've also got so many government jobs that are open, military, it's just, you know, the sky's the limit as far as where you can go and what you can do. It's all a personal decision.
Thank you, Linda.